This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Democrats don't want to get stuck on a slippery slope towards a final vote on a bill that they don't agree with.
There's also a lot of political gamesmanship and, to be frank, a lot of frustration. Senate Republicans repeatedly come to the floor and lambast Democrats.
All of a sudden, they start throwing all of the little Green New Deal stuff in, the boardrooms, what they look like.
In all, this bill uses the words diverse or diversity more than 60 times. What does it have to do with a pandemic that might kill you?
Shame on you. If you got a family member who is suffering, do you really think now's the time to impose same-day voting?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
An Arizona man has died after attempting to self-medicate chloroquine phosphate, believing it would protect him and his wife from the coronavirus. After watching President Trump talk about the potential benefits of chloroquine during one of his televised White House briefings.
Very fake news.
The president has been talking about chloroquine in a tablet form, which is a malaria drug. So this particular form of it that he took was used to kill parasites in fish, apparently.
Ooh! Well, you should always read the label!
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
Sleepy Joe Biden said,
we have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what. No matter what.
I don't know if he knows what that means, but that's okay.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Is everything cool with you and Dr. Fauci?
You know, they have other things to do.
That is really unfortunate. I would wish that that would stop. He's never countered or overridden me. The idea of just pitting one against the other is just not helpful. I wish that would stop, but we'd look ahead.
You know, I don't think they should be at every news conference.
You're good, that's the point.
Yeah, we're fine, we're fine.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
The news conference continues at the White House. Larry Kudlow, the president's economic advisor, just told reporters that he and Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, have been up on Capitol Hill, and they're negotiating that this is the third version. Nancy Pelosi has basically surrendered. Thank goodness. Thank God. And they're going to try to – they're still trying to iron out the last kinks, difficulties. But we'll keep you informed, and we're going to go back when the president begins to take some questions in a few minutes, we think. But right now we have a cheap bastard deal we're going to do.
It's Howie Carr's cheap bastard deal.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no, it's real, and it's a steal.
You know there's plenty more when you shop at Howie's store for another Howie Carr cheap bastard deal.
Howie Carr, the cheapest bastard around.
Okay, so what do you want to do? Defensive strategies from Manchester, New Hampshire. Here is Bob Bollard. Is with us, and what do you got for us today? You got $100 gift courses for $50. Is that right, Bob?
That is correct. So that the code that they get is good for basically $100 off any class.
$100 off any class. And now, what kind of courses do you offer? Defensive strategies. This is in Manchester, New Hampshire. What kind of courses do you offer, Bob?
We offer a lot of classes, mostly firearms training from beginner to advanced, including instructor-level classes. So if they want to become an instructor, that deal is also good for instructor classes.
And so personal protection and safety strategies, firearms instructions, concealed carry training, home defense and security, basically any kind of training you want to get. And, of course, you always have at defensive strategies the ladies-only pistol class every month, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. It's that class is usually quite full.
So this is the class you take if you want to learn about how to handle a firearm. A lot of people are trying to buy firearms, but they don't know anything about them. They don't know what they even should be shopping for. Because I know that I've read stories now lately that some people are just going in and they're just buying guns because the ammo for other kinds of guns that they might be more comfortable with is gone, so they just pick the heavier gun because they can still get the ammo, right? I mean, that you want to avoid, you want to get a gun that you can be comfortable with, right?
Well, yeah, you want to take a class first so that you know how to shop for a gun that fits you, okay? And ammo right now, you're right, it's flying off the shelves, and it's crazy, and the prices have gone way up. Just like toilet paper, you know.
Okay, so the best thing, if you're not conversant about firearms, this is a good way to familiarize yourself with what kind of weapon you need to get, or what kind of weapon is the best for you to have or your family to have. So you want to go to Defensive Strategies in Manchester, New Hampshire. These are you can get a $100 course for $50, and not all of the courses just cost the $100, but most of them do. So you can get a course at Defensive Strategies in Manchester, New Hampshire for $50. And how soon can people get into your into Defensive Strategies courses, Bob?
They can do it as soon as tonight if they want to. They just go to defensivestrategies.org and sign up.
Okay, so the courses start. The courses
they want
are every
certificate first.
Right, the courses are every day, though. That's what I mean. They can get in very quickly into them. They don't have to wait 2 weeks or a month, anything like that. All right.
No.
Okay, so go to HowieCarShow.com, HowieCarShow.com. Click on stores, and you'll see it. Defensive Strategies in Manchester, New Hampshire. You can purchase a $100 gift code for $50. $50. So it's half price for the courses. And again, if you want to familiarize yourself with firearms at any level, this is the place to go. Personal protection, safety strategies, firearms instructions, concealed carry training, home defense and security, and ladies only pistol class. Always a popular item. All right, Bob, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. And everybody go to Defensive Strategies in Manchester, New Hampshire. And you can order the half-price certificates at HowieCarShow.com. Click on store. All right. 844-500-4242.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
The White House reporters are like little kids right before Christmas going up to the mall and getting in Santa's lap. What can you bring me, Santa? Can you guarantee that I'm going to get the pony that I want? The Barbie doll? I mean, come on. He said he'd like America to be raring to go at Easter. It's not a lead pipe guarantee. There was a governor of Massachusetts who made a lead pipe guarantee once, and you know what happened? He was defeated in the next election. Today's poll question is brought to you by MyCube's Survival Safe. If you missed last week's cheap bastard deal, MyCube is taking $200 off while supplies last and including free shipping to order. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the MyCube banner. Keep your gun, ammo, and cash safe now. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will America be open for business by Easter?
Yes, I hope so.
66% say yes.
All right. 207 says, our idiot governor up in Maine just closed down all non-essential businesses, quote unquote. We own a hair salon and are completely screwed. It's pretty damn essential that we pay our bills and buy groceries. Well, that's what I've been saying for days. I mean, who is Janet Mills or Charlie Baker or even Ron DeSantis, who I like as the governor in Florida? Who are they to say a business is essential or non-essential? If you work at the business, if you own the business, you're damn right it's an essential business. Good Lord. 844-500-4242. Do you want to take a little bit of the president's live question and answer? Oh, it's Fauci. Okay, we'll take a couple of calls. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Howie, how are you doing? The Emperor of Hate, that's one of my favorite monikers you have next to the undocumented guest host that Mark Stein uses.
Right.
I just wanted to kind of throw some things, some numbers. I'm a CPA, and I wanted to throw some numbers at you. You know, right now the CDC site is showing 53,000 cases in the United States of 330 million people.
Right.
Which gives you about a 0.0158% chance of having or coming in contact with this virus. Let's just call it 0.02% chance. Very, very slim. Now, compare this to the H1N1 virus. Using the CDC's NIH numbers off of their website, they say that they had an average of 60.8 million cases of N1.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, David. It seems like the Trump's back on. We're going to have to break there, David. We understand what you're saying. The numbers, lies, damn lies, and statistics. You know how it works. Here's Trump.
What specifically are you looking at? What states? Are you talking about out west?
Well,
or
you can
Midwest
talk about
where
the Farm Belt. Take a look at the Farm Belt. Take a look at the areas out west. Look at big sections of Texas. I was talking to the great governor of Texas. They've done a fantastic job out there, but they have very big sections of Texas where, you know, it's like numerous states, frankly. But we can have large sections of, if we want to do it that way, we can have large sections of the country open. I think it's very important that we start moving on that and start thinking about it, because our country wants to be open, our people want it to be open, and they're raring to go. And I think it's one of the reasons that we're going to have a tremendous bounce back. I think it's going to go very quickly. Also, I want to thank, while I'm here, I want to thank Larry for the job he's done, Steve Mnuchin for the job he's done. If you look at Peter Navarro, he's sort of doing different things. He's really he's a force in terms of getting masks and getting all of the ventilators and all the things. He's been fantastic, Peter. But I also want to thank Congress, because whether or not we're happy that they haven't quite gotten there yet, they have been working long hours. I'm talking Republicans and Democrats, all of them, the House, the Senate. I want to thank Congress, because they are really trying to get there, and I think they will. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Did
thank
you give Governor Cuomo a heads up, Mr. President, about the quarantining for people who left New York? Did you give Governor Cuomo a heads up about quarantining for
people? We're talking to them about
it. Did you ask
South Korea? What is this micromanaging going on? You know, I mean, Monday morning quarterbacks are supposed to, you know, it's Monday morning after the game is over. I mean, these people are trying to, you know, get their licks in. They hate the guy. It's clear. Most of them do. I mean, they may not be as direct as Jim Acosta or that guy from NBC whose name slips my mind, but they don't like him. And they're, you know, and they've got him in this situation. If he opens the country too soon, they're going to, again, any death that occurs after Easter will be blamed on him. And they will go to the funerals and they'll stick the microphones in the face of the survivors and say, didn't Donald Trump kill this person? Just like they said yesterday in Arizona, Donald Trump killed the people that ate the chemical that was supposed to be used in a fish tank. I didn't even know. I wasn't going to call it medicine. I didn't know what I should. I was unclear what word I should use. And then if the economy crashes, if he keeps it closed if he doesn't lift the national emergency for another week after Easter and the stock market loses another 2,000 points and the unemployment goes up to 10%, God forbid. They're going to blame he didn't take the restrictions off the economy before it crashed. So, I mean, they're setting it up so any way he loses. I don't think it's going to work, but it's so transparent, isn't it, what they're up to? Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Howie. It's Jim calling, and I wanted to tell you we have nothing to fear but fear itself, and there are two kinds of people, the kind who are afraid of getting sick and the kind who are afraid of getting sued.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's something to that. I mean, or second-guessed. How about that? Someone who's afraid of being second-guessed. And that's why they're engaging in this one-upsmanship. You know, somebody closes down all the restaurants except for takeouts, so the guy in the next state or the next city closes down the restaurants for takeouts too. It's in the case in Massachusetts. Fortunately, they're going to let the restaurants sell takeout alcohol. I mean, not a good idea in most times, but you don't want these restaurants to go out of business. I don't want anybody to go out of business. Lauren, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, Howie, I wanted to give you the rest of the story on the Janet Mills news conference this afternoon.
Yes.
Right after she said that non-essential businesses are going to be closed for the next 2 weeks, in the very next breath, she said she's unhappy with the federal tax extension to July, and she needs her money. She needs her taxes April 15th.
You can't have your cake and eat it too, can you, Lauren?
Yeah, I mean, I own a small business, so I'm supposed to go another 2 weeks with no money. But she needs her money right on April 15th. I just couldn't believe it.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do for the next 2 weeks, Lauren?
Got to try to figure something out. When you own a small business, you have to survive by your wits, right?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Are you going to lay anybody off, or what are you going to do?
Well, no. You know what, Howie? If I have to dig into my own pocket to pay my staff, I will do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, that's what you have to do if you're you got to keep the business going. That's my belief anyway. We'll be right back with Heather McDonald. Consider the Cost. That's the title of her column. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Joining us now is Heather McDonald from the Manhattan Institute, and she's the author of the book, The Diversity Delusion. She's been on our show several times, and she's got a really great column on Spectator USA. Consider the Cost, the rush to impose sweeping restrictions on public and commercial life across the entire economy should be more carefully evaluated. It's a great column, Heather, but you understand what the president is up against. You saw it again just now, moments ago, at the daily White House briefing. I mean, they're second guessing him. They're these reporters. They've never covered a fire, let alone managed a national economy, and they're trying to micromanage his response to this coronavirus.
Absolutely, Howie. It's very depressing. I guess he's walking back his stated goal of getting things moving again, at least by Easter. You know, what irks me the most about the press response and the pundits and the elites' response is they set this up as a duality. Either you're for human compassion and human life, or you're a greedy capitalist and you care about the economy. It's that dichotomy is completely false. Those people, it is a human compassion to care about the economy. People, lives depend on their ability to have a job, to earn not just their economic lives, but their spiritual lives, their emotional lives. The economy is what keeps us going both from to feed ourselves and also to just involve us in human activity. The devastation that is being wrought on a daily basis to our extraordinarily complex and beautiful economy is absolutely heartbreaking. That's what keeps me up at night. So far, this coronavirus is going to have to explode through the roof to come close to the toll that we accept without even thinking about it in terms of highway deaths each year, about 40,000 a year. Flu deaths gets up to about 55,000 a year. But when we put people out of work and send the economy into the tailspin that it's going, facing a global depression, you are going to have devastation to human life that is far greater than anything that we're going to see from this virus.
Well, you make a lot of great points in your column, and one of them is about the death toll on the Diamond Princess cruise ship. 700 passengers and crew members, 7 died. That's a 1% mortality rate. And that's in a very confined area, and also among a population that's much more elderly than even Italy's population. 1%.
Yeah, it's amazing. It could not have been a happier spot for the coronavirus to be. They were there, you know, for weeks, all you know, completely closely involved, a vulnerable population, and 1%. So then there's a Stanford epidemiologist who actually thinks we're going to see more like a 0.3% death rate. It's clear that the death rate so far has been vastly overestimated because we simply don't know what's in the denominator. We don't know how many people are infected. And, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, well, there's all these people who are infected, terror, terror, terror. Well, the more people that are infected with a set number of deaths means that the infection rate gets lower and lower and lower.
Right.
So, again, you know, I just don't see the data. To be sure, the data is rising. You know, we are on a steep curve right now, but the numbers still remain. We're at, 600 deaths around that as of today. It's going to have to get a lot higher before it reaches the 40,000 highway deaths that we accept because we do not want to be inconvenienced by driving at 25 miles an hour.
Right. Well, in Massachusetts, one of my listeners pointed out yesterday, we had a case where the Registry of Motor Vehicles forgot to pull or neglected to pull a driver's license of someone who should have had it taken away, and he killed 7 people in June. 7 people. And until 2 days ago, that one guy, due to the Registry of Motor Vehicles mistakes, had killed more people than coronavirus in the entire state of Massachusetts. You know, Israel has had one death, the first death. It was a Holocaust survivor. I mean, it's too bad, but the guy was almost 90 years old. There have been 2 deaths down here in Palm Beach County, where I'm currently broadcasting from, both of them in their 80s. I mean, again, I'm sorry they're dead, but it's to be expected in the general scheme of things, isn't it?
Of course. I don't think that this is going to change the average death span or mortality rate of the U.S. one bit. And for the family members of the elderly people who have been dying from this, it's a tragedy. However, you know, the statistics are unclear whether we're over considering if they have coronavirus, did they die from coronavirus, or did they die from their many pre-existing ailments, which we see in Italy. You know, the average person who dies of coronavirus in Italy is 80, with 3.8 serious pre-existing conditions, whether it's serious heart disease or cancer or diabetes. So again, you have multiple causes there. It would have been coronavirus today or something else tomorrow. The fact of the matter is, when you get to that age, you know, you are facing a shortened lifespan. And the difference with the coronavirus, with the flu, is the flu takes out the young and old alike. The coronavirus does not. Now, I'm not saying kill all the dead people by any means, but again, we should be targeting our response. Get it to the hospitals. Build up hospital capacity. Make sure that our brave heroes that are working on the front lines in the medical profession have the equipment that they need to protect themselves and make sure that the elderly vulnerable are not mingling, but to shut down businesses that employ young, healthy, middle-aged people, I think is a very risky and damaging overreaction.
The reporters are just saying, oh, well, the number of infections being reported is skyrocketing. This is after they've been demanding for weeks that there be more testing kits available. If there are more testing kits available, I think you're going to have more infections reported, even if you have an infection rate of only 1%, right? I mean, they've
right.
set this thing up so that whatever happens, it's going to get worse and worse, and it's going to look worse and worse for Trump. Whether he, you know, and again, as I've been saying all afternoon, anybody who dies after Easter, it's going to be on him. It's blood on his hands. And if he doesn't, if he doesn't continue the economy being shut down, then the recession / depression is on his hands, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Frenzy with which MSNBC and CNN tries to discredit everything he says is really quite extraordinary. And I'm not one for conspiracy thinking generally, and I think it's best to sort of take people on face value of what they say they're doing and give them a certain benefit of doubt for acting in faith. But it is just unavoidable. You have to notice that the left is just licking its chops at the opportunities that this provides for great expansion of government power and their favorite projects, whether it's global warming or you know, takeover of a whole industry.
Yeah, voter fraud, too. Don't forget voter fraud.
Oh, that's a big risk, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, and Nancy Pelosi was turned back in her attempts to do all of the things you mentioned, but it's, you know, she tried. She tried. I like the way you described what it's like when you immerse yourself in one of these alt-left media outlets. You mentioned the New York Times and reminded me why I don't read the New York Times anymore. The press is working overtime to ensure maximum hysteria. And then you mentioned Saturday, the usual blend of Trump bashing and fear-mongering. Pressure on Trump as millions are kept from home. Mixed signals from president. So confusion. Virus tightens grip on nation. And then the lead is amazing. America plunged into a deeper state of disruption and paralysis on Friday. That was the lead story. That's the lead of the story at the top of the right-hand corner of the front page. America plunged into a deeper state of disruption and paralysis on Friday. Well, you know, I dare say, Heather, that you did the same thing I did. Rather than plunge into a deeper state of disruption and paralysis, you put down the New York Times and you turned off your TV set, right?
Well, unfortunately, I have a certain sort of fiendish masochistic lure to just see how bad it gets. So it is amazing. I mean, we've had straight, you know, 7 days, 8 days of banner headlines just screaming hysteria and fear. And, you know, this idea that it is the virus that is locking down the country, you know, in its vise-like grip. No, it's not. It's the economic shutdown that is. The virus, again, let us note, we're at 600, 700 deaths, 40,000 a year in highway, 600,000 cancer deaths, 55,000 flu deaths. I used to wake up every morning and say, okay, today is going to be the day where I understand the panic, and the light is going to go on, and I will see what this is, why this is so much worse than anything else. And I've now just given up trying. Again, I it's something that we need to be careful about, and you know, monitor things, do as much testing as we can, get as much equipment out there. But it's clearly now taken on, the panic has taken on a life of its own. It is political. Nevertheless, I mean, this is happening in other countries without Trump. But the media always has an interest in, you know, terror porn or panic porn or disaster porn. It sells newspapers and keeps eyeballs on the TV. Even Fox News has been in hysteria mode with their
yes,
you know,
they have.
Daily, second by second tally of deaths. I mean, this is just insane. Give us a tally of the hundred of people who die every day on the highways. Give us that tally.
I like that, terror porn or panic porn. You had another good phrase right at the end of your column, which was shut down one upsmanship. And that's exactly what's going on here. In Boston, you had the mayor of Boston said, you only can have 50% capacity in restaurants. And then like 3 or 4 hours later, the governor of Massachusetts said, we're going to shut down all the restaurants and bars. And then the next day, the mayor of one of the suburban towns shut down the playground. So we were making a joke that he couldn't. It was too late to shut down the bars, so he shut down the monkey bars. You know, it's. I mean, we're laughing about it, but it's ridiculous.
I know. For them, they seem like there's no downside. It's a cover your ass phenomenon. And you don't want to be left behind. But watch Florida. You know, for a while they kept the beaches open. It'll be a miracle if DeSantis down there doesn't cave as well. But you're down there. So what's the situation with the beaches?
Well, the beaches are closed, and it's unfortunate. And he's talking about there's so many people coming in from New York every day on the planes, because I don't blame them for wanting to get out of New York, because it looks like it's a ghost town. And and the weather's nice down here. But he's saying he wants some kind of voluntary quarantine. I don't know how that would work out. And, you know, he's saying the 30,000 people a day are coming down from New York, and one out of 30 is infected. One out of 1,000 is infected. So that means 30 a day are infected. But again, what does that mean, they're infected? You know, I mean, a lot of people are apparently walking around like Tom Hanks, and it's not going to kill him, and he's just feeling, he's got a headache, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right,
how
right.
bad is it?
No, it's not. For 80% of the people, it is a common cold. That's what it is. This is just not the end of the world. A world depression will be the end of the world. I'm not sure that this country has the virtues of courage and resilience and independence and civic mindedness to get through a depression. Are we ready for the breadlines? Are we ready for the riots? Are we ready for, you know, children not being able to eat and the social disruption? You know, that people worry about Trump being a dictator, which is ridiculous, you know, especially given the calls for him to lift, habeas corpus so the courts can't take any challenge to the national emergency that law professors are wanting him to call. But, you know, if you get a world depression, that does lead the way towards real demagogic leaders, you know, whether
right.
it's on the left or on the right, you know. So
be careful what they wish for, but they don't understand history well enough to grasp that reality. Heather McDonald, I really appreciate you being with us. Again, it was a great column, and we'll tweet it out to Spectator USA. Consider the costs. Thanks for being with us, and it's always a pleasure. And the title of your new book is, or most recent book is, The Diversity Delusion. Thanks for being with us. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. We're going to take a couple of calls before we leave tonight, but I did want to let you hear, in the spirit of equal time, what the two leading Democrats in the nation had to say today on the coronavirus problem. First, Joe Biden.
Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what. No matter what.
You got that? Can we quote you on that, Mr. Vice President? And now, Nancy Pelosi.
Evidence-based data, what is going to make the difference? I think the cure is the biggest message of hope that is out there. We have the best minds in the country, 24/7, all hands on deck, trying to find a path here. And that is what will be the light at the end of the tunnel. What the president is suggesting is that light at the end of the tunnel could be a train coming at us if people are out and about in a way that it spreads the disease further. But I'm not here to pick a fight with the president. We're here to get a job done with this legislation, and don't want to waste any energy on his tweets. I mean, I think that if he listened to the scientists, if he listened in the beginning to the gravity of the problem instead of minimizing it, if he hadn't fired the people at the national, well, you know, there's so many what ifs. Let's save that for later. Right now, we have to focus on getting the job done for the American people.
The president of the United States is signaling that he could open it up. What is your opinion on that?
I don't care. I don't care about his tweets, his Twitters. That's what she said. We didn't have the cut we really wanted there. Do we have time for Suzanne? Suzanne, you're next. Oh, no time at all. Okay, I don't hear the music, so I'm just playing along here. 844. Okay, we're out of time then. I'm Howie Carr.